Good evening, friends, and welcome. We begin in the name of God Transcendent, God Omnipresent, God Immanent, the Most Holy Living Trinity. Amen. And as we gather together this evening, the Christ candle has been lit, affirming for us that Christ's light is always present within us and among us and as us. This evening we gather as a body in this new way, and we know that our shared intention and attention matters. Our presences individually and collectively as a body matters. Our work matters for ourselves, one another, our families, and our world. So let us prepare ourselves to receive and to share. And as tonight we will be sharing our experiences with levels of man and learning about the levels that are possible for humanity as well as personality, let us begin with the words of the 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart, following on the Feast of the Assumption, which was yesterday, the Feast of the Annunciation, rather, which was yesterday. We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the Divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to the Son, if I do not also give birth to Christ in my time and culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when Christ is begotten in each of us. Amen. May it be so that we come to this knowledge and being to know as we are known. We'll begin this evening with a couple of notes. Last week, we spoke of measures and gestures to create sacred space at home and various things that we could put into place. Tonight, we'll suggest a couple of more, which have to do with being, how to listen, how to take in impressions so that they land on higher parts of centers and thus affect our being. And our being affects all of us. When listening, especially during the sharing, uncritically observe thoughts, feelings, and sensations about what is being shared. What do I learn about myself? Where is this in me? Self-remember. We remember that we gather here to listen, to receive, to share, to care for one another, and to work. We're not here to fix or to solve or to remove any difficulty, knowing that God is doing that work. Many of us listen deeply, we receive, and perhaps we even work, but we typically do not share. As we will be looking into personality tonight, maybe this is the time to work with and perhaps even against our own personality. Step out, risk, be bold, and share. This may be just exactly the same thing that someone else might need to hear. So again, this evening, there will be times of sharing. And I'd like to just highlight to you that if you run the cursor over the bottom of your screen, you will see a little raised icon, raised hand icon. So if you want to share, just click on that little icon and you will be placed in a queue. You will be called on and unmuted. Everyone present will hear you, but not see you. But God sees you. So once again, let us prepare ourselves to move past the ordinary senses and move into the spiritual senses in order to receive knowledge in the deepest parts of our center, the intellectual center, and to have the deeper parts of emotional center enlivened with valuation, and have our bodies sense the truth in order to manifest the word made flesh in our own being, as Meister Eckhart gave to us. So please join me in a meditation aimed at alert receptivity. With feet on the floor and back straight, strong back, the heart is open. I breathe in deeply. Hold this gift of life, Christ's life evolving in me, and I breathe out this healing goodness into the world. I lightly scan my body, noticing if there are any places of tightness and constriction, and simply give them a gentle, loving glance. I relax my body. I am upright, attentive, receptive. I hand over the complexities of the day, knowing that they are gifts for me. I hand over the plans for tomorrow, knowing that they will be addressed in time. I hand over the anxieties of my heart, knowing that they are known. Open heart, listening heart. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. I am totally present now. We will enter into Lectio Divina. I will share our reading on the screen, and it will be read three times. It comes from today's email message. You may wish to read along with me, or to simply gaze at the image, or just close your eyes and silently listen to the words and allow it to move deeper upon each reading. What is the word, the idea, the impression that is for my life now, listening through the lens of the work? Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You're now invited to share what you received from this message. Paco.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for this. First time sharing, and I'm so grateful for all that's going on here. It's been really meaningful and helpful to me in many ways. I've been doing the work for just a few months now, so I'm fairly new, but some of the ideas resonate with old practices that I've had. So entirely new, I guess. I read this as I translate light to attention. When I'm attentive to what's happening and self-observing, I find that through that light shining on all of the thoughts and reactions, that they are tempered, sort of mitigated in the process. And of course, the challenge is for me to remember that in the moment. What I'm finding is I still have some of the same reactions, and kind of the practice for me now is to be okay with those reactions and not to criticize myself, but to become more aware of them more quickly. I really like the way that this passage ends. I think it was something like, Christ will give you light. And I read that as when I go into those, when I pay attention, I'm drawn into higher parts of centers. And I have a sense of that, of rising on the vertical scale. And a sense of unity with something greater than me. And that to me is Christ.
Indeed. Thank you, Paco. Joe.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, welcome, Joe.
All right, thanks. Thank you. I heard that we are a multiplicity. And heard to observe, separate, non-identify, and remember who you are. And I felt a conscious shock.
Thank you, Joe. Pam.
You should be able to speak, Pam. Are you getting a little notice to unmute yourself?
Well, perhaps we'll come back to Pam. JC.
Yes. What I heard were two phrases. One that said, everything that is visible is light. And it's just fascinating to me that this was written aeons ago. And now we know that that is literally true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea of the ray of creation coming down and making everything visible through the light was very powerfully present to me during that reading. And then the last time you read it, I heard awakened sleeper, and it's like, isn't that what this work is all about? The only sin of which we are guilty is being asleep. And here's help. It's coming down the ray of creation, and it is Christ, and we are in it and of it, and it is us. So very, very connected by that passage.
Yes. Thank you, JC. Pam, do you want to try again?
It says, well, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. It was giving me a contradictory message. I heard that all things are visible in the light. And for many years in the work, I felt like I was self-observing and non-identifying and self-remembering, especially my negative thoughts and statements. And then over time became frustrated because those same things just kept coming up and coming up. And finally, working with my work partner, I came to the realization that those things were coming up for healing. And I began, when one of those would come up that I was especially frustrated with, I would literally say aloud or think in prayer, thank you. Thank you for bringing this to me. It is here for my healing. And although I've been working, there's still more work to do. And so it's become more of a prayer of gratitude in that light shining on the creepy, crawly things that I wish I didn't have to see. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Cynthia.
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
So, I heard everything that becomes visible is light. I heard that as well. And that showed me that when I self-observe, that becomes visible. And so, that observation within myself, since it's light, there's no room for any criticism or fault finding with it. It's light. Mm-hmm. And that seems to go with the scripture that you just read of to know as we are known. Because when I see it as light, I'm seeing myself as I am known. And yes, that takes me to a really beautiful saying that I like, that the Sufis say, that the relationship with God as is as light upon light. They always say that, light upon light. And I could just see that and feel that, and it's really beautiful. Mm.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you. Carly. Are you able to unmute, Carly?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
I was just visiting. the piece that spoke to me was that arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. And what came to me was, we've been planting a garden the last couple of weeks, and I had planted some transplants and some seeds, and then they didn't get the proper watering that they need. And sadly, my plants died. And what struck me is thinking about something that is dead is something that is not rooted, is not receiving the nourishment that it needs. And like Cynthia, I'm inspired by the Sufi path. And one of the Sufi practices, like, it's like centering prayer that really feeds me, is remembrance and just bringing myself in connection with the divine, because the divine's always there, but I can forget that connection. And so what struck me is that when I am rooted and in that sense of connection, then I'm no longer like my plants in the garden that are, don't have, without that nourishment, they died. And similar to me, when I'm rooted and when I'm connected to Source and to God, then yes, that's where the light is and where the light comes from. And that's where the guidance for me comes from. So that idea of lighting my path, showing those next steps, revealing answers to conundrums, bringing healing to those places of wounding inside me. All of that stems and flows from that rootedness in being connected, my heart into the divine heart, like a plant rooted into the earth.
Mm. Thank you, Carly. We have time for one more. Karen.
I heard once darkness, an old sleeper. Mm-hmm. And I heard the same thing that JC heard in terms of the work and it only accusing us of being asleep. Mm. And the tone that it took for me was like when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and Martha was complaining about Mary not being up helping her in the kitchen. And Jesus just said, "Martha, Martha." Mm. And so it felt like the same tone with, "Oh, sleeper." Mm. So we're just asleep. Mm. And I this might not be proper, but I am so grateful to hear Pam out there. Mm. That's all. Mm.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Thank you to everyone for all of your sharings, both those expressed and those that lie deep within your hearts. We all can feel into them and the goodness of the light. Amen. Now I am very pleased to introduce Pamela, who will take us from last week's work of levels of man, levels of being, to tonight's vast topic of personality. Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Mary Ann. And thanks for your support, Karen. And it would be really great if all of you could pray for me right now and send energy. It's very difficult to talk to a blank black screen. And I now understand what it's like for Peter to talk to an empty sanctuary on Wednesdays and Sundays. I'm so used to connecting with everyone's energy in the sanctuary, and I didn't realize how important that was to open my own being. And so I ask for help. I ask for your help. And so it is. Last week, we talked about levels of being, and I was telling my journey group, it's not my favorite teaching of the work, primarily because it sets one up to believe that there's a place to go and a lot of efforting, and that there's worse and better. And so I hope some of what we covered last week, or the way that it was covered, and I did ask you all to hold the idea of levels lightly, to look at it more as an opportunity to see that there are levels within that are manifesting at any given time. And in the same vein, at any given time, we can choose differently. Awake, O sleeper, and choose differently. Awake and step into the light. So I'm going to share on the screen the homework that was given last week. And it was given in two parts, one which was part of the email and one which I added, First of all, what is your work to become number four or balance man? Each day, consciously aim to use the right center for the purpose at hand. So that's work on the side of being, very practical work on the side of being. And then there was a line in last week's email that talked about small being complains. And so we were invited, especially during this difficult time when that might be a temptation, to non-critically self-observe any moments of complaining. And then non-identify and self-remember. And just in that movement of stepping back from the impulse, even before it comes out of one's mouth, even as it's coming out of one's mouth, or even after it's come out of one's mouth, there is still the opportunity to non-identify, self-remember, and be at a different level of being. Not as an achievement, but as an experience of laying it aside, of letting go. You can feel it, and it's very different. So I'm going to stop sharing and invite you all to share. What was your experience with either one of these? Lisa Brown, why don't you start? Thank you.
I appreciated the homework as I identify as the four on the Enneagram. I had a year of clinical training where we studied a little bit of the Enneagram, and I was told often that I was lamenting or whining. And I honestly had never thought of myself that way, but the more it was told to me, the more I became aware of it. So this homework was such a great opportunity for me to spend the whole week noticing as much as I could when I was about to complain. Every time I was able to refrain from complaining or just pause, I got a very quiet sense of peace. And I think what I'm beginning to understand is my desire for more neutrality.
Yes.
And it is a freedom that is a little challenging for me to explain with words in this moment, but it was just a freedom. And what seems to be replacing it is just a sense of peace of what is right now. And a certain just calmness, a kind of across the board. I could easily think of things to complain about. And just the homework feels like I have this little light bulb going off all week long of like, wow, what if I didn't? What if I didn't? So, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for leading us off. Jack and Jackie.
Evening. It's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I am working on the side of emotion, my heart center. I have been for a long time. I'm a 1-3-2 person with a very distant relationship emotionally. But lately, I have been noticing that in this case, the meaning of the word light, including in tonight's lectionary, is not about the light from the sun, but lightness, what we would call page 10 in the work. Increasing return to a younger child me. And in fact, I was blessed to be on the 10-day Lenten retreat recently and had this feeling that all of what is happening now in the world is for greater lightness, for bringing us together as real brothers and sisters all around the world. And since we are at home, Jack and I, like everybody else, it has been just a beautiful time of lightness between the two of us. We danced last night in front of the washing machine, the dishwashing machine, to some favorite music. And what happened was I was going upstairs to bathe and Jack was washing the dishes and I heard this music start, and normally I would just go on up and bathe and Jack would be the one that would be approaching me to dance, but I went downstairs and approached him to dance. Now that's a different me, and that's a much lighter me. And I actually have this future memory that things are going to evolve in a way that brings this world closer together and not so polarized. I am usually a half empty person, half empty glass person. But in this case, something is changing and I'm delighted. I have taken a rolling aim of awe and wonder, and the way that Barbara Cook used to talk about it, even her voice comes up. I wonder what God has in this moment. And I find that very positive and affirming. And I think it's a beautiful possibility for us all.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm so happy to hear your lightness of being. And for me, that's exactly the spirit to take these teachings, the teachings of the levels of being, the teaching we're going to talk about tonight for personality. It's not a doing, it's allowing. And I hear you just allowing something to come through.
Thank you.
Thank you. JC.
Yes, I really appreciate what you said about taking the levels with lightness, because early on in the work, this balanced man and 1, 2, 3 and 5, 6, 7 just confounded me. And so I was kind of excited to see it come back up again and to dive in. And I went to my index of the commentaries, which is in an old red binder. It's a printed off copy. It's not the actual book. And as I was going in there to look up, you know, centers and right use of centers, this stack of notes fell out of the back of it. Mm-hmm. And it was from a second line group. Don Hale and I have determined that it must have been 17 or 18 years ago. And Jack Stamps was in our group at the time too, because I have his name in the notes. And it was, we were determined that we were going to figure out all this stuff about centers and how they worked and everything. And, you know, it goes back to what you shared about Father Keating saying, sometimes effort gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And it was a frantic use of the formatory part of the intellectual center to dig in and, damn it, I'm going to learn this. Just sort of like what Dale shared a couple of weeks ago, you know, I'm going to learn this.
Yeah.
And it was very enjoyable to realize that 17 years have gone by, and I really can't say that I, you know, really understood a whole lot more about it. And so this week in working with that, it was just such a profound experience, because what happened was I was reading this commentary in volume 5 where he talks about inner and middle and outer parts of centers. And I realized that I was trying to work on centers, but I was still doing it from this formatory part that really wanted to get to number four so then I could get to number seven, and you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, I've just kind of, you know, this iteration of the Journey School that's come back around has been an opportunity to just let go of all of that and just sort of come back to this with beginner's mind and say, man, I can't wait to, you know, re-engage with these ideas. So what happened is, I was reading this commentary. He talked about how when you're in a formatory part of the center, particularly intellectual center, the outer part of the center, it will make a decision as if it were the whole center. Mm-hmm. It finally clicked for me. I went, oh, well, that's exactly what an I does when it speaks for my whole self. Yes. And all of a sudden, it just came together. And there's this quote about Ouspensky talking about these fine and beautiful machines that we're operating with a candle, and we know nothing about the machines. And when something goes wrong, it's someone else's fault. And I just recognized that all of these eyes are on the outer part of a center. So I have to self-observe starting there. And when I non-identify, I can drop into the middle part of a center. And when I self-remember, you know, the middle part of the center looks both inwards and outwards. When I self-remember, that's when I drop into that inner part of centers. And that's the only place where you can receive signals from higher centers. So it just all sort of fell together in this way. And what I've come to realize is that my knowledge didn't change so much. It's my being and letting go of that part that wants to compete and wants to be the best, and just coming at it from, this is just beautiful. And like Jackie was saying, it's fun. I'm having fun engaging with the work in this format. So it was just a beautiful and very powerful experience of, you know, again, I guess it was taking impressions in a new way, in a way.
Right, because your being's at a different level now, as you said. And thank you for that little teaching you just gave all of us. If I were to say it in a different way, without all of the technical language, I would say that we're so used to living, responding on the surface of our being, that it feels normal. And it's only when we begin to wake up. And I think centering prayer is also so helpful when we are able to feel a deeper stillness, a deeper center, then we realize that a lot of those reactions are optional, that they've sabotaged our being or taken over our being. And there's something so much more, which is so much more simple. That's the other thing. It's so much more simple. And I'm so grateful there's people like you, JC, that have hung around and come back to this, because as Lori said during the very first class, we're sounding a new dough with this school. And it's a very different kind of school. And so we're all coming back to these teachings, for those of us who have been around for a while, in a completely new way. Because we're not the same, and life isn't the same, and the teachings aren't the same. So it's really a wonder. Let's see, Mark Yaden.
Pamela, can you hear me? It's actually Guy.
Oh, hi, Guy. Yeah.
Hi. So I've had some awesome experiences of self-remembering. So being succinct, I started a new job, and I basically spent 4 days in a row at a drug treatment facility talking about spirituality, meditation, higher levels of consciousness, and energy I got from that was amazing. But the epiphany I wanted to share was what I realized was that was the ray of creation, that was higher centers such as intuition. Mm-hmm. It was the Holy Spirit. And I realized that my vessel was just open. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff that came in that was brilliant that I may have associated with myself in the past was clearly not that.
Yes.
And I have tears in my eyes at that recognition.
Yes.
And goosebumps all over my body.
Yes.
And for 8 hours a day talking to these people, I have goosebumps through my body. Yeah. So there's that. And then there's the complete opposite. So I spent a little bit too much time on Facebook today. And my work partner, we decided to notice complaining. And I would imagine fighting with right-wing wankers on Facebook would be considered complaining. And I just couldn't let it go today. And for a long time, I let it go. And I fell asleep and I took the bait. And it's very, very triggery. My family in England is right wing. My dad was right wing. Mm. I used to work sort of Wall Street-y kind of stuff. And man, I was triggered. And what it is for me, that's very much PTSD. And I view those triggers or when I'm identified as having shrapnel in my body and someone brushes up against it. And it's powerful. And when I start going down there, I'm a nasty man. Mm. And this is sort of embarrassing. I was sitting playing Xbox video golf with my brother as a 54-year-old man. And I just couldn't shake it. And I wasn't playing very well. And I was still kind of grumpy. And sometimes when I notice non-critically that I'm identified, that's not enough. So I came into my bedroom. And I tapped the emotional freedom technique, tapping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I tapped and sitting next to me, or maybe I didn't know they were all there at the time. My four favorite books, The Work, Paramahansa Yogananda, Course in Miracles, and New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I tapped for not very long, maybe a minute or so. And it knocked it all back out.
Mm-hmm.
I went back in and like completely won the game, as it were, but it made me realize that I had to do something in addition to non-critically observe myself. And it actually was good for me to non-critically observe myself because I can critically observe my gene pool and my family tree and my upbringing and all the stuff, right-wing stuff I have worked to not be like.
Yeah.
And I wasn't criticizing myself. I just tapped. And then what I would also say, and I would thank you and Marianne, this reset of the journey group, I probably wouldn't have driven to the Church of Conscious Harmony tonight. And this was self-remembering getting on this Zoom class.
Mm.
And this Zoom class is a massive neutralizing force. I just want to end and say thank you to everybody for that.
Thank you, Guy. And there's a lot of people involved. So let's talk about what you just shared a little bit. What you shared was a beautiful example of self-remembering. You were in the spirit. The spirit was coming through you. There was teachings. There were higher principles and ideas. And then the pendulum swung. And you were able to change centers. You were able to take in new impressions through the practice, through the impressions. But it's very instructive to see how you were poisoned. So it's useful to ask, is there any conscious way to engage Facebook? The answer is yes, but there's a lot of landmines, and you walked into one of them. It takes aim and it takes care, and also a sense of vigilance to see when the temptations are arising in that environment. For example, in myself, there's a bunch of groups that I belong to, like David Hawkins groups and Richard Rohr groups, where I really am fed by some of the things that are shared. So it can be a place where I can go for higher impressions. But as you know, it's very easy for the octave to degenerate. And I can feel in my being when the energy is starting to drain. And am I awake enough to stop, or does that temptation continue? So it's a matter of being careful of what we feed ourselves, especially coming off such a high experience where you know that the pendulum has the greatest opportunity to swing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad, or is it really Billy?
Actually, this is Billy.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I don't know why it keeps coming up as Brad. I think I'm going to have to shut it down and restart it. But
yeah, there's a way to put your name in when you start up.
I know, and so this must have been, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll fix it later, but this is Billy. So the complaining, I've been pretty good that I try not to complain too much out loud, but what I noticed was that I do an awful lot of complaining in my head. Mm-hmm. And I find that it is absolutely the wrong use of centers. Like, I can be complaining, loading the dishwasher. I can be complaining about, why do I have to load the dishwasher, in my head.
Yeah.
You know, poor me, the poor me I loves to grab the microphone. And what I discovered about that is every time I catch myself, the dishwasher is a good one for me. I don't know why, but anyway, in that particular moment, I can stop and go, good grief, you have a dishwasher, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, just look outside, just look out the window. And as I sit here and I've watched this beautiful sunset while I've been listening, it's, you know, this pandemic has slowed everything down to a point where I have time to notice things, and I have time to stop, and I have time to catch myself complaining in my head about some of the most insignificant things. And so it's been a really good exercise to do that, because there is so very much, my life is amazing. I have so very, 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 very much to be grateful for. And you know, it's hard to even explain how I feel about that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even so, these little complaints arise, and sometimes I forget and I go back to sleep and they carry me down the rabbit hole, you know, and get myself all stirred up without ever saying a word to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good exercise, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Billy. We'll take one more. Rusty or Sue, or go ahead.
Okay. Late Tuesday morning, our little small business had our first public conversation with everybody about, you know, what's ahead economically and the viability of staying in business. And a lot of constructive, you know, stuff kind of came out of that. But it certainly was a different way of experiencing what's been going on with the pandemic and all the effects of it. as I was sharing this with Sue at lunch, an email came through that basically from a customer that'll keep us busy for the next week and a half. Mm-hmm. And so this whole pendulum business was definitely felt. But as I was starting to engage with what needed to be done on this project, I found myself going into emotional center and some negative parts of emotional center as we were dealing with different details on this project. And I realized how poorly that emotional center was serving me in this particular case. And the homework came to meet me in the sense of really focusing on the intellectual center and engaging the intellectual center with as little emotion as possible as we make these various decisions that, you know, will initiate this project and be a shot in the arm for us for a period of time. And it just takes off the table anything of an emotional nature that just does not have anything to do with what kind of needs to be done at this particular time. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate the teaching and some of the example that you gave, Pam, you know, in preparation for the upgrade in technology of just do the next thing, just do the next thing and know that there's going to be more next things to do. And just, so when something comes up, as opposed to getting emotional and say, well, crap, I thought we had that all figured out. It's like, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? It's been a much richer experience than it would have had with all the emotions flying, and I very much appreciate the homework and very much appreciate the teaching.
Great example. Thank you, Rusty. Okay, I see other hands up, Rodney and Kieran, and hopefully you'll have more to say later. We're going to move to the second part on our teaching of personality. I also didn't want to talk about this topic either, and I talked to my colleagues about it, and they said, this is your role, and of course I don't know anything, and I learned so much this week diving into this topic, and I'd like to start with a quote that was read in a prayer circle that Marianne and I are in every morning during the week. And this came to meet me, as the Spirit would have it, as a perfect summary of what I wish tonight's class to be around personality. And I'll read this twice. We're in an online course that's reviewing Father Thomas's guidelines for Christian life growth and transformation. And this is guideline 28. Father Thomas says, the goal of genuine spiritual practice is not the rejection of the good things of the body, mind, or spirit, but the right use of them. No aspect of human nature or period of human life is to be rejected, but integrated into each successive level of unfolding self-consciousness. In this way, the partial goodness proper to each stage of human development is preserved, and only its limitations are left behind. The way to become divine is thus to become fully human. The goal of genuine spiritual practice is not the rejection of the good things of the body, mind, or spirit, but the right use of them. No aspect of human nature or period of human life is to be rejected, but integrated into each successive level of unfolding self-consciousness. In this way, The partial goodness proper to each stage of human development is preserved, and only its limitations are left behind. The way to become divine is thus to become fully human. So for me, that is an upgrade to the traditional teaching of personality in the work. Some of us might recall the saying that personality has scarcely any right to exist. I disagree. And it seems that it does exist. And it seems that it has a purpose. And that's what I'd like to explore and elevate our understanding of the role of personality. So the key, I have four key points, and I reserve the right to add other points, but the four key points that I'd like to go through tonight is that personality is key to becoming fully human. Fully who I am and who I was meant to be. And it doesn't involve an overcoming of something or a self-improvement, trying to make it better and shinier, or even, as Marianne suggested in the beginning, even a working against. That it's more about integration and understanding. If you were able to read today's email, and this is the second point, is that personality is an organ of digestion. It plays an important role in the practice in the work of understanding. And remember that understanding is work on the side of knowledge and work on the side of being. And the third point is there are many different teachings and perspectives on essence and personality. I probably read at least 8 to 10 different sources of materials just to get a sense of the different views. And what's interesting for the curriculum writers, we probably had the most difficulty in coming to agreement in defining personality and defining essence. So that tells me that we really don't know. That it's more than we can know or simpler than what we believe. And the fourth point is that the key to everything, and we could say this at every class, is self-remembering. That self-remembering feeds understanding. And understanding feeds acceptance, and acceptance feeds unity and union. And this is consciously chosen love. So those are the points that hopefully you'll hear woven into what I'm going to talk about next. And I'm going to read a couple of things. The first one is from Beryl Poxon from Brighton Work Talks. And this is how she speaks of personality. She says, essence is invisible. And what is invisible is the cause of the manifest. So you can feel the ray of creation and how things come down through the ray of creation into manifestation. Essence causes personality. So that's new. We typically don't hear that in the commentaries. Essence causes personality. In fact, it attracts to itself a personality to do its work in the world, and a false personality that has to be overcome. And I would say instead that has to be integrated. Before birth, essence, the part of one's being that one has made one's own through efforts in previous lives, chooses the circumstances of its next life, including the weaknesses of personality. this notion depends on the fact that active force needs a resistance to work on. So essence comes in with a particular aim, a particular path that's been given to it, and personality is part of that aim and path. As the organ of digestion of experience, it is only after much persistent work and personality that experience becomes part of one's understanding, that is absorbed in essence. It is interesting to think, Mrs. Pogson continued, in relation to other people, what is this person going to grow into? Which I love that. I love that kind of externally considering someone, looking at someone and seeing they're not a fixed point in time. They're not a single unchanging eye. I wonder what they're moving towards. I wonder how they're evolving. And those of us who have been in relationship with one another for decades, as Marianne and I have been, we've seen that change. We've seen that growth. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to watch that unfolding. So she continues, the chief way of nourishing essence is by self-remembering, and also through love of truth and beauty. When something you know about becomes real, it passes into understanding and becomes part of you. So that goes back to impressions of a higher order, the importance of feeding ourselves truth and beauty and goodness and principles and ideals and nature and each other. One of the sources, and you saw it referenced if you had a chance to read today's email, that I found very useful was the theory of celestial influence. And for those of us who were in this 10th Man School a long time ago, we read that whole book and went through it together. And I hadn't picked it up for a very, very long time. But just a couple of things that were not included in the email from Rodney Collin. And this really is, this is an effort again to say that there's so many different understandings and scales of understanding even of where essence and personality come from. And he says, we may say that the life of man belongs to the sun and his type or essence to the planets. So I'm going to share on the screen with you an example of different types that's very different than the Enneagram of personality. And these are planetary types. And so you can see at point 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8, the planetary types. And we're not going to go into these types, but the point is that there's a different understanding than the Enneagram of personality, where who we are comes from. And in this case, it's tied to the planets. It's tied to the influence of the planets that were aligned when we were born. And if you've studied Eastern astrology, not Western, but Tibetan and Ayurvedic, there's a very deep understanding of the influence of planets in who we are that is happening beyond before we were born and when we were born. Now, I'd like to read something as you're gazing at this that Rodney Collin says. He says, each type of essence must be fed in its own way. For the different physical types, the different physical types are exactly types of essence. What is true food for one, so for one type of essence, let's say in this case, the Saturnine, is useless for another type, let's say the Martial. and vice versa. Thus, each man must begin to feel for himself what feeds his essence and what makes him more himself. And you're going to hear that said. I heard Father Thomas say it in his guideline about becoming fully human. And Rodney Collins says this over and over again, that we're invited to become more of ourselves. Which to me is a great relief. When I first started in the work, I thought I had to get better. I thought I had to completely eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that I knew what was good and bad within myself and needed to dispel that which was bad and to increase that which was good. And that was just completely baloney. And I guess I had to do that. I guess it was just part of the program to see that self-improvement is not transformation. That's something else. That's the self-reflecting on self. That's the efforting I talked about last week that is useless. So I'm glad I got to see that because it feels a whole lot different now. So he goes on and he says, the first commandment on the way of development is for man to free himself from pretense and imitation, to discover how he reacts, discover the nature of this type, and try to live accordingly. He must learn to be himself. All types are equal, all are necessary, and all enjoy the same opportunity of movement or stagnation. What is important is not to be of this type rather than that, but to be sound of one's type, to be recognizant of others and uncrystallized in any. So that point was made in today's email about the Enneagram of Personality. That if we still believe I'm this type or that type, that the invitation is to move beyond that belief, to move beyond that crystallization, to non-identify and realize we're so much more. So I'm going to stop now and see if you have any questions or comments on anything that's been shared here or anything that came to in today's email. Rodney. Can you unmute yourself, Rodney?
Okay, now?
Yep.
Yeah, so actually I was really wanting to speak to the homework earlier, but it feels like what you've been talking about personality right now kind of is pertinent as well, that I identified myself as a 2-3-1 person where my center was more in emotional center. And the works talks about how we need to really concentrate on the center that we're most asleep in, which for me was my moving center of my body. And over the years doing yoga and some exercises that Gurdjieff and Madame de Salzman give, I was able to get more in touch with my body and to be in it more. And what I've found is that through this work I've been able to feel the joy that's pretty much constantly in my body. Mm. And when it comes to especially like complaining, I found myself in a conversation with somebody, and I could feel it, the need to start complaining. And actually I did start complaining and was watching it. And just seeing how completely, what a lie and how phony it was, but how I continued to do it anyway. But at time was able to feel the vibratory joy that was in my body. So my body was actually telling me that everything was fantastic. You know, a lot of people have been talking about this time and actually being in times of a time of joy for them. And I found the same thing for myself, and that the getting into my body, out of my emotional center, has actually helped me to be more balanced as far as my emotional center is concerned. And I've been watching myself just do typical tasks like shaving or making coffee or working out in the yard, and realizing just the joy of movement, and that my body can do whatever it is task that I'm trying to do without me thinking anything. And that the fact that my eyes are wanting to go, you know, to this situation we have now is just completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And goes against all the practicality of the work. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about earlier about personality not being necessary, but I see that when I am in my body and just feeling that vibratory joy, the feeling of Christ, it's like I don't even need my personality. I don't even want it around. It's just enough to see through my moving center. So that's really kind of been my experience this week with this whole thing.
Thank you, Rodney. One clarification, I didn't say we didn't need personality. I'm saying exactly the opposite. That it is necessary organ of digestion. It's a necessary organ of learning and relationship. And as we integrate, it becomes a more integrated, deep part of our process. So back to what we talked about before, about living on the surface of ourselves, when we're living in our depths and stillness, the personality is still there. It's just expressing more simply. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. For those of you who may have had your hand up before and you wanted to share before, you can click it and your hand will go back down. So if you still want to share, keep your hand up. Otherwise, you can click it and put it back down. Anna, please. Are you there? Anna Vu Wallace.
See it? Okay, oh. There I am.
Okay, hi.
Hi, Pamela, and I'm so grateful that you said that personality is needed. What came to mind was two things. Number one was when I first started the work, I thought that I had to ablate completely my personality. And for quite a while, I walked around pretending, imitating people that I would admire at CCH, losing really and quite miserable, but it was such a funky pretense wanting to be that. And as I journey along, discovering that personality is quite needed. In fact, what you read tonight made me think of a lump of clay as essence. And the human hand that is putting pressure on that clay, it needed to be there. It is that thing that pushes onto essence and creating something beautiful out of it. We do need that, what you call resistance, in order for it to become something, for its aim to be accomplished. And I can see that personally, even in my life, the personality of Anna was quite needed this week to mobilize call to others for organization of equipment, for organization of a team that needs to be in place within the next couple of weeks. And it can only do that through personality, because personality is what people see and what people can relate to and what people can hear. And without this personality, it quite is not useful at all. And what I found out is that my aim, the aim of it, how to use personality in a way that is helpful, is really the integration you're talking about, the integration of personality. And I love that word. It is the integration of personality with essence. There is not an ablation of that. Yes, essence, though, speaks loudly. Using personality for God's purpose is how I see it now. And that to me is absolutely beautiful. Love it. I love that whole, you know, visualization of the clay. And I'm thankful for it, actually, because it did get results, and it was, you know, it was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
So it becomes a vehicle, or it is a vehicle, in service to an inner flow and inner wisdom, which is not of us. It is not of us, but it is there in service to something to come through. And that's different. When it's disconnected and distorted, it focuses on itself. It toots its own horn. So those are some of the ways that we can see when it's exaggerated and living on its surface. But then we probably can all find an experience where it is really in service to something else happening. Karen, can you unmute yourself, Karen?
Looks like I'm unmuted.
Maybe okay.
So before coming to the work, I did a great deal of that personal growth work. Mm-hmm. So much so that I had even become an instructor of one of the weekend courses and had started instructing. And what I realized about that was that it was all part of what I needed to do. Like once I became familiar with the work, and you know, the whole idea of you can't serve two masters, meaning not people masters, but different systems of work, that I had to put it down and completely engage the work. But there was nothing, at first it felt like that was making it wrong, all the work I had done up to that point. But then what I realized is that I needed to do everything that led up to me joining and becoming part of Big W work.
Yeah.
As part of making or getting or developing my personality healthy enough to be able to undertake the work.
Right. Right. And the work says that, doesn't it? That we have to be good householders, and that it needs to, we need to have those energies developed for the next phase.
Right. So all the personal growth, you know, I have that in air quotes right now, it was still necessary. It's still part of it. And even if like little pieces of it come in, like sometimes it feels like some of even the Eckhart Tolle work could be personal growth-ish.
Yeah.
It still fits somehow, as long as it's all part of an overall integration.
That's right. Yeah, everything belongs and everything works for the good.
Right. And another thing that I have noticed all the way back to, you know, being in Catholic school at kindergarten age already, is that the whole, there is a thread through all of it. And
yeah.
I consider that to be essence. Like there was some measure of essence expressing in the entire thread all the way through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In bold, big letters. Absolutely. That's right. That's why for me, they're not separate. They're not the way the work talks about it, where they're this separate thing and we change polarities. It's actually one thing when different energies are expressing in more of a synthesis, and sometimes they get distorted.
Well, and I can totally see or understand deeply even how essence uses personality.
Yes.
Expand.
Amen. Anyway. Amen. Thank you, Karen. I wish we could take a few more, but we are coming to the end of the class. So what I'd like to do is share this week's homework on the screen. And I'll read it out loud, and if you could read along with me. So the first sentence in italics is taken from the email itself, if it's a phrase from the email. When we really understand and absorb something, it enters into us and becomes part of our essence. If personality is the organ of digestion of experience, we must ask ourselves, how can I consciously digest the experiences and impressions of this time? Are the impressions of life falling on negative emotions and associations? How might I practice self-remembering through first conscious shock, which means how might I take impressions in a new way? What tools of the work can I apply to myself to facilitate the transformation of impressions within my being? And you might look back on prior emails for some suggestions or ask friends in the work. So this is a homework for our time and for these days. And it's very important to look at what impressions are coming in and what am I doing with them, because there's a lot. So thank you, friends, for your being and your presence and your participation. Amen.
From Rodney Cullen. Dark moments only come when we have no faith. Dark moments only come when we shut the door on God. We must open the door and say, the Lord is there. Blessed be the Lord. To close the door and say, Lord, take away the darkness, is an offense to God. The sun shines and God made it. All the world testifies to the presence of God. God says to us, you have will. Open your eyes and look at me. We do not need to say, I will seek God, when all the time God is seeking us. If I know that one day I shall see God, if I think of that, how can I but smile with happiness? If I am shown day and night all the beautiful things there are in this world, surely I can smile. If I see children coming, then life is coming, the future, and for that, I ought to smile. From John. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overcome you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may come people of the light. Let us join together in praying the prayer of God's love. God's love has met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.